If you have your Bibles, let's take a look at the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, we're going to jump in about the middle of verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. When I was a youngster, I had a young and rather ambitious pastor who was quite good at drama when he wanted to make a point during a sermon. One day he decided he wanted to make a point about the depth of our commitment and our dedication to Christ. So on one Sunday evening service, he engaged two young men from the high school where he served as guidance counselor to come to our Sunday service, complete with authentic Russian Army uniforms from the school's drama department and assault rifles that had the firing mechanisms removed. Well, the pastor entered the pulpit to preach his sermon, and just about that time, those two boys, in their full Russian soldier attire, burst into the front doors of the sanctuary, waving those rifles and threatening to shoot anybody that had a Bible who claimed to be a Christian. Their broken Russian-English accents might have won an Emmy. Those two guys were very convincing. I've never seen Bibles disappear like they did during that moment. It was amazing. People who were the pillars of the church started hiding Bibles and squirming in their pews as the soldiers waved those assault rifles in their faces and screaming at them all along the way down the aisle. The boys then approached the pastor, grabbed him by the arm, and threw him up against the wall, threatening to shoot him unless he renounced Christ immediately. Later on, the pastor said the boys overdid it just a little bit. At that point, the pastor announced it was all a charade and nobody was in actual danger. He told the boys they could leave and for everybody to pull their Bibles out of hiding now because it's okay. Interestingly enough, he never got to preach that sermon that night because people flocked to the altar to ask God to give us more courage to stand against Christ, even in the face of a life-threatening situation. I'll never forget that lesson I learned many years ago. Dedication to Christ. Sometimes it seems like too many Christians today have forgotten what the word dedication really means. I was taught that being dedicated is the same thing as unfailing loyalty, and that if we make a commitment, it would require that we give everything before we break that commitment. Thus, the reason we call it unfailing loyalty. Today, we're going to take a look at commitment and loyalty and dedication and see how we stand in relation to our relationship with Christ. Dedication starts with a promise. It starts with a commitment. When you accepted Christ, you asked Him for forgiveness for your sins because you were sorry that you'd hurt God by committing those sins. God forgave you, and then you pledged to walk with Him the rest of your life. And you asked Him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. That was a commitment to walk with Him the rest of your life. Now, there's no deeper commitment than our commitment to Christ. You see, everything else, including family and things we own, the home we live, the job we have, the kids we have, everything we have goes back to our commitment to Christ. If we put Christ first, God said plainly He would meet our needs. But we have to put Christ first. And so when we accepted Christ, we agreed to do that. That was our commitment. Likewise, when a man proposes marriage to his soon-to-be wife, he's promising to take her into himself and to make the two individuals to become one flesh, as the Bible calls it. He will promise to love and cherish her in sickness and in health until death do us part. There's no deeper human relationship than a marriage relationship. You know, and the relationship with Christ is even deeper than a marriage relationship because it's for eternity. Marriage is till death do us part, but a relationship with Christ is for eternity. Now, we always talk about, and I think we love to think and realize that we will be together with our loved ones if we both know Christ in heaven. And yes, I believe we can and will spend eternity together. But that won't be the most important thing in heaven. Christ will be the most important part of heaven by far. You know, when the pilgrims first came to the New World, they were living in times of terrible religious persecution. they were being punished or killed by their government because they followed Christ. They wanted freedom. They wanted the opportunity to live with religious freedom. The founding fathers of America did everything they possibly could do to ensure that this brand new nation would be a nation that was free and that would have every opportunity to survive and remain free. We have done that for 244 years, and now we stand at a place where we could go one way or the other, and which way we end up going will depend on our depth of commitment to Christ. Are you committed to the Lord Jesus for the days ahead? I hope and pray that you are. I'm not trying to scare you, but I will tell you this. Whatever comes up down the road, whatever takes place in this country, be it horrible or be it wonderful, God is with us every step of the way. And that's what your commitment to Christ is all about. The knowledge that you're never alone and you never take a step without His knowledge and without His presence. But you know, without dedication, we couldn't have any kind of commitment and no kind of stability in our lives. Imagine what it would be like in a marriage or a relationship with Christ with no commitment. Well, they call them open marriages these days, and there is no such thing as an open relationship when it comes to Christ. You're all the way in or you're all the way out. And that doesn't mean you're perfect. No one will ever be perfect while you walk in this mortal flesh. You are going to sin. You can try, you can work, you can do everything in your power, but somewhere along the way, you're going to slip up. Temptation's going to come your way and you're going to give in. And when that happens, you will not be perfect anymore. But it's not about being perfect. It's about being committed. It's about being sold out to Christ. So when it does happen that we commit that sin, we realize it and we fall straight on our knees and say, God, forgive me and restore me. Put me back to where I need to be and stop me before I do more than I've already done. But without dedication, there wouldn't be any commitment. There wouldn't be any guarantee the man of the house would come home after work or that the mother would take care of her children when they need her. There'd be no guarantee that we'd get paid after working for a whole pay period from our employer. And we'd have no guarantee of a life in heaven when we die if there was no such thing as commitment. So you see, the commitment to us is already made by other people. The commitment from us to God and to our families is what we're talking about today. The commitment we make and the commitment we live in. Second thing about commitment is that dedication is kept by an unbroken commitment. You know, when you break a commitment, your dedication level, it's gone. It drops. It's out. When you make a commitment, it's the first step on a journey. It's not the end of the journey nor the completion of the task. But when you make that commitment, it's the first step. When you sign a contract to buy a house on credit, you're borrowing money from a bank or a lending institution. And according to the terms of the contract, you've agreed to pay it back at so much every month until you pay it off. But if you don't meet those payments, then they will foreclose and you will lose your house. Some commitments which you sign and pledge your loyalty to, you can't get out of. It should be that way with every commitment that we make, especially the commitment we make with Christ and the commitment we make with our spouse. Those commitments should be forever. Those commitments, such as to serve the Lord in ministry, will have some unexpected twists and turns, and I can tell you from experience that's exactly what happens. I've been in ministry 44 years, and I can tell you that when I knelt at that altar in July of 1976, I had no idea where it was going to take me. I had no idea of the pits and the valleys and the depth of depression, and yet the high mountaintops and the experiences of watching people come to know the Lord as their Savior, watching people who are discouraged get some help from the hope of the gospel. It's all about walking in this world, and there's good and bad to everything you do. But believe me, as you walk with Christ, the mountaintops are worth the valleys. Because when you get on that mountaintop and you see what God has done, it's reason to rejoice. And there is not a feeling on planet Earth that's any better than knowing you've accomplished something wonderful for the Lord. It's a little bit like when you first got married. You knew that you had married the right one, and you began your journey together as a married couple. What a wonderful feeling it was, and it's still that wonderful a feeling every time we get up on a mountaintop with the Lord. Well, there was a mama who wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson one time. She gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. And she told the little girl, she said, "You can put whichever one you want to in the collection plate and keep the other one for yourself," she told the girl. Well, they got to church, and afterwards the mama asked the daughter which one she had given. "Well," said the little girl, "I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. I knew I would be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter than the dollar, so that's what I gave." You know what? When our commitment is like that as an adult, we can laugh at it as a child, but as an adult, it's not funny anymore, is it? As an adult, if our commitment to Christ is we give whichever one makes us feel the best or makes us the most cheerful, we're not going to be faithful. But if we do what we committed to do and give the Lord what He asks us to give Him, the blessings are countless. Obey the Lord. That's how you get the blessing of the Lord. But never be guilty of thinking that God is a vending machine that you can put a prayer in, say amen, like pulling a lever on a vending machine, and get a blessing out. It doesn't work that way. But when you are obedient and you keep your commitment to Christ, the blessing of the Lord is on everything you do. He will watch you every minute of the day. He will coax you away from areas of temptation. He will help you in your daily walk. And that's what happens when you keep your commitment to Christ. Commitments are made to be kept promptly, the Bible says. In fact, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord says, "Do not be slow in keeping His promise," as some understand slowness or slackness, as the King James says. "Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Don't be slow, or to paraphrase, don't be a slacker. Meet your obligations and commitments on time. Several years ago, it was quite popular for preachers to purchase radio time on the local radio station. I remember that as a kid. I remember I was never a fan of this method of preaching because you never knew what somebody would say on the radio, and I heard all kinds of things. I remember one time hearing a whole lot about this on a Sunday morning on our local radio station in my hometown of Rome, Georgia. Once there was this guy who spent 30 minutes on Sunday morning railing about the heretic that was coming up behind him and all the crazy things he was doing, and how nobody could ever believe a word he says. Well, the guy behind him spent his 30 minutes railing about the lunatic before him and how he was all messed up in his mind and never got anything right. And then he divided part of his time to bash the guy that was coming up behind him. He called him a weirdo. This went on and on for several hours every single Sunday morning. You know, I don't remember ever hearing a real sermon. They read a scripture verse and started their bashing routine. It was the most horrible sight I've ever seen. I came to call that Sunday morning kind of programming a Sunday abyss, with good reason. Preaching the Word of God is not about that. But you see, somebody lost a commitment along the way. Those preachers lost sight of what it was that God had called them to do. We're not called to be bashers of people. We're called to be fishers of men. And we need to remember that. Whether you're a preacher or whether you're sitting in the pew, it's your job to help people to keep their commitments. And you do that by starting by keeping your own commitments. You can't help someone get that ox out of the ditch if your ox is likewise in the ditch. Get your ox out of the ditch first, my pastor used to say. Keep your commitments, then you can help someone to keep theirs. Another thing about dedication, it's always clearly defined. You always know what it means to be dedicated to. You know what commitment you made and what God wants you to do. If one does not know what he's dedicated to do, how could he ever know if he's been accomplished it or he's been faithful in the end? You see, God makes our way clear. We learned as kids in Vacation Bible School many years ago this little song that says, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." You know, God lets his light shine everywhere we go. It's kind of like walking down a dark path with a flashlight. You shine that flashlight ahead of you and you see the path, so you don't stumble over a rock or step into a big hole or stick your foot in a bear trap if you're in the woods. You know, that's what the light is all about. It helps us along the journey. And God's light is the only light that we really can depend on. Artificial light can be altered and changed. It can be colorized. It can even be separated into colors. It can be set up as a strobe light, and it gives us a headache when that light blinks. God's light never blinks. It's never divided up into pieces. It's always there for us to see what God wants us to see. He doesn't hide part of the light so we can see another part. He opens our eyes that we can see what He wants us to see. God doesn't hide from us. We should not hide from our commitment. Dedication's always clearly defined. So when you know where you should go and you know what you should do, then just do it. Just do it. We all have questions, and sometimes I think I have more questions than answers. But God is always there with His light to shine His light and give us the answers to the questions that need to be answered. Another thing about dedication is that the conclusion of dedication is always reward. Now, you know, if you do the wrong thing, if you're committed to the wrong thing, if you're committed to the devil, or you're committed to some false religion, or you're committed to some humanistic worldview or something to that effect, you will get a reward, but it won't be a good one. It's going to be a bad reward. In fact, if things don't fall apart for you here on this planet, you certainly will find out about it after you breathe your last, when you stand before God. But you see, the conclusion of dedication to the Lord is always rewarded. It's dedicated to Christ, and Christ will pay the dividend at the end with eternity with Him in heaven. You know, I've made several misdirected turns in my lifetime, decided to go right when I should have gone left, or as my mother-in-law would say, I zigged when I should have zagged. Well, that's true. Missteps are common in our life. We can usually tell that we've turned the wrong way sometimes just after we get started in that new direction that's not right. God will lead us. But if you make a misstep and you're now facing in the wrong road ahead, do remember, God allows U-turns. God promised that our lives that are faithful and given to Him in salvation and kept with Him through His faithfulness and our pledge of commitment, that we will keep and always result in that eternal reward. God always keeps His commitments. Let's keep our commitment safe in Him. Often I hear people ask, how's your love life? Well, maybe today the question Christians should be asking is, how's your commitment life? You see, when you make a commitment to Christ, we need to check up on it from time to time. And it's good to have someone who helps us to do just that. Well, Jack took a long look at his speedometer before slowing down with the blue lights behind him. He was doing 73 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. It was the fourth time in as many months. How could a guy get caught so often? When his car slowed to about 10 miles an hour, Jack pulled over, but only part way. He thought, let the cop worry about the potential traffic hazard. Maybe some other car will tweak his backside with a mirror. Cop stepped out of his car with that big pad in his hand. He said, Bob? Bob from church? Jack sunk further into his trench coat. This is worse than a ticket. A Christian cop named Bob catching a guy from his own church. A guy who happened to be a little anxious to get home after a long day at the office. A guy he was about to play golf with tomorrow. Jumping out of his car, Jack approached Bob, a man he'd never seen in his police uniform. Hi, Bob. Fancy meeting you like this. Hello, Jack. Guess you caught me red-handed in a rush to see my wife and kids, Jack said. I've seen some long days at the office lately, and I'm afraid I bent the rules a bit just this once. Jack toted a pebble on the pavement. Diane said something about roast beef and potatoes tonight. You know what I mean? Well, I know what you mean, said Bob. I also know you have a reputation in our precinct. Ouch, Jack thought. That's not going the right direction. Time to change my tactics, he thought. What'd you clock me at? 71, said Bob. Would you sit back in your car, please? Now, wait a minute here, Bob. I checked as soon as I saw you. I was barely nudging 65. The lie seemed to be a little bit easier every time he got a ticket. Please, Jack, in the car, insisted Bob. Flustered, Jack hunched himself through the still open door, and slamming it shut, he stared at the dashboard. He was in no rush to open the window. But the minutes ticked by, and Bob scribbling away on that pad. Why hadn't he asked for a driver's license? Whatever the reason, it'd be a month of Sundays before Jack ever sat near this cop again. A tap on the door jerked his head to the left. There was Bob, with a folded piece of paper in his hand. Jack rolled down the window a mere 2 inches, just enough for Bob to pass him the slip. "Thanks." Jack couldn't quite keep the sneer out of his voice. Bob returned to his car without a word. Jack watched his retreat in the mirror. Jack unfolded the sheet of paper. How much was this one going to cost? He thought. Now, wait a minute. What is this? Some kind of joke? Certainly it's not a ticket. Jack began to read Bob's note. It said, Dear Jack, once upon a time I had a daughter. When she was 6, she was killed by an automobile. You guessed it, a speeding driver. A fine and 3 months in jail, and the man was free. Free to hug his daughters, all 3 of them. I only had one, and I'm going to have to wait till I get to heaven before I can ever hug her again. 1,000 times I've tried to forgive that man. 1,000 times I've thought, maybe I did, but maybe I need to do it again. Even now, please pray for me. And be careful. My son is all I have left. Bob. Jack twisted around in time to see Bob's car pull away and head down the road. Jack watched until the police car disappeared around the curve. A full 15 minutes later, Jack, too, pulled away and drove slowly home, praying for forgiveness and hugging a surprised wife and kids when he arrived. Life is precious. Handle it with prayer and lots of care. Keep that commitment. Pray. Seek the Lord, and God will bring the increase.
Before him now. nothing.
Want to say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.